Well, again, I want to welcome those of you who are new here. So glad that you're here with us today. It's just a delightful day to celebrate what God's doing in people's lives. And before we jump into what we're talking about today, I want to pause because it's something we don't do often, but I know many of us are rattled by the headlines and kind of what's happening in the Middle East. So what I want to do, I want to kind of just pause and just pray for a volatile place and for a place the Lord loves. And then we're going to kind of move on to the rest of the message. But let's just sort of take a beat to pause and pray for what's happening and the things that are kind of unfolding in the Middle East. Let's just pray for a minute before we jump in. Lord, your scripture invites us to pray for the peace of Israel, and so we do pray for the peace of Israel. We pray for the peace of a volatile nation, a volatile nations, a place in the world that has been so charged for so long. And Lord, there's all kinds of complexities here, and we long, Lord, for peace. We just long for peace for the region. We pray for the flourishing of the people of all the nations in the Middle East. Lord, we long for your kingdom to come and your will to be done across our land and around the world and across the Middle East. So, Lord, we pray for peace. We pray for your hand to guide leaders, even leaders that don't know you. We pray that your hand would be at work to guide them and direct them, to navigate the challenges, complexities, and the responses of what's coming. And Lord, we pray for the peace of our own nation and pray, Lord, as there'll be all kinds of division along this new line, this new conflict, this new flashpoint, Lord, we offer that to you. And we just declare that Jesus is Lord over every headline. Jesus is Lord over the headlines. You're bigger, your kingdom's coming, your will's being done. Lord, your kingdom is bigger than any one kingdom or any one sort of news cycle. And that's our hope. That's our confidence that Jesus is Lord. We follow you all our days to the end of our days, and we long for the peace of Christ to reign and to rule over the world. And Lord, we can't wait for the day when you will come and make all things new, when there'll be no more wars, no more tears, no more crying, no more threats. Lord, the old order of things passing away, the new things coming. So come, Lord Jesus, come, Lord Jesus. Bring your new thing, we pray and ask in Jesus' strong and mighty name. Amen, amen, and amen. If you're just joining us, we're in a summer series called Forever Changed. That's what it is, Forever Changed. And what we're doing is we're looking at these different stories of people's experiences, normal people having an encounter with God and just sort of how God sort of affects them and the people around them. And if you're sort of traveling this summer, it's a great summer to kind of just check in online. Hi, online people. If you're at the beach, we're all jealous of you, although it's really hot. We love you anyway. But hey, follow us online at 9 a.m. We're live streaming, so please do jump in and join us. It's a great summer to be a part of Chatham Community Church and what God's doing here as we baptize people and celebrate sort of lives being changed, right? Next week, we have more baptisms. By the time it's all said and done, we're going to have like around 52 people baptized in the last year, which is like we've never had, like that's more than double than we've ever had before. Like the Lord's just doing things here, like just changing lives and transforming lives. It's so beautiful. It's so wonderful. We're so glad to be part of it as we talk about being forever changed. Now, as we're talking about forever changed, some of us love change and want to change. Some of us resist change, but all of us have someone else we'd like to see changed. All of us have a plan for someone else's life and how we'd like to see them change or grow. And so if we're confident that we can change other people, how much more confident can we be that God himself wants to change us for our good and for the good of those around us? That's really what we're talking about as we talk about being forever changed. Now, the story we're picking up today is the story of Moses in Exodus 3. And Moses' life story sort of tracks in a similar way. Those particulars are a little bit unique, but it tracks in a similar way to many of our lives and how things kind of start out and where they end up, right? So here's a typical story. Let's see if this sounds anything like any part of your life. One, you start out hopeful, optimistic, right? Almost every marriage starts out this way. Most people start out a new job or their careers or go off to college. Hopeful, optimistic, you got dreams and sort of ambitions and all these kinds of things that you hope will happen. And then you hit reality. Something, any number of things, right? It could be a difficult situation. It could be the class you took in college. I thought I was going to be a doctor. No longer going to be a doctor. That was really hard. Or maybe you hit a hard situation with a bad boss or a difficult neighbor. Or maybe you have a medical problem. Or maybe the marriage you thought was going to be perfect. You thought you were marrying the person who was just like you. 3 weeks later, suddenly they're a completely different human being than you thought they were. Turns out they are different from you, right? What a shock. Who knew? Right? So you hit reality. Or sometimes the reality you hit is your own mistake. Something you do that sort of derails your own joy, your own plan, your own happiness. And then what you have to do is you have to course correct, right? And not every kind of thing that we hit is created equal, right? Some things require minor course corrections. Some things require major course corrections. And some things are just absolutely devastating, right? Some things you like take months, years to recover or move through. Any of you recognize that little story arc in any part of your life? As we're looking at Moses' story, That's his story arc. He starts in the palace. He starts a life of privilege and comfort, and things are looking good for him. And then he makes a mistake that he probably regrets and replays for the rest of his life. And when we meet him, he's living in obscurity in the desert for 40 years, and he's pretty much consigned to a life in the desert in obscurity, but God's not done with him yet. And he has an encounter with God at the age of 80, just as old as Steve Wexler is, who just made an affirmation of faith. At the age of 80, God intersects his life, and he is forever changed. Now, as we drop into Exodus 3, a little bit of background, just the backstory as I just kind of outlined it. So going way back to the end of Genesis, a man by the name of Israel brings his whole huge family to Egypt to escape a famine. And his family is giant, it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And eventually, after a couple generations, a new king comes into power. And he's like, who are these people? And if we're at war, they might join the other side and revolt against us. So he enslaves all this huge family. This continued to grow and grow and grow and grow. And so he decides, we're going to throw all the newborn baby boys into the Nile River to stop the craziness of this family growing. So when Moses is born, his mom puts him in a basket, floats him down the Nile, just prays that God's going to take care of him. The king's daughter, the Pharaoh's daughter, finds him on the riverbank, brings him to the palace, and Moses is raised in the palace with all the privilege and comforts, or at least on and around the palace and the family of the Pharaoh, the king, until his whole life. But he kind of always knows he's not one of them, right? And about age 40, he goes out to town and he sees an Egyptian just beating a Hebrew slave. And he is so incensed by this, he kills the Egyptian. The decision he'll probably regret for the rest of his life and replay the rest of his life. The king hears about this and says he's gonna go kill Moses. So Moses flees for his life to a place called Midian. And Midian, he gets married, and to add insult to injury, it's not bad enough. He's left the palace, and he's left all the comforts, and his friends and family, everything he knew. It's not bad enough that he's, like, left the palace and lost everything. He has to work for his father-in-law, for crying out loud. Fate worse than death for some of you, really. That's, like, totally terrible for some of you. So he's working for his father-in-law. They're, like, herding animals in the desert, and he thinks that's going to be the rest of his life. But God's not done with Moses in Exodus 3. And God's not done with you either. Here's Exodus 3, verse 1. Let's pick it up again. Now Moses was tending the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that the bush was on fire. It did not burn up. So Moses thought, I'll go over and see this weird sight. Why the bush does not burn up? When the Lord saw that Moses had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush. Moses, Moses. So here's Moses just doing his day job, right? And it's always helpful to know these are actual real places. So here's a map, right? There's Egypt up the top left. That's kind of Goshen was the area where the people of Israel settled. And you can see how far away Midian went. Like Moses went hundreds of miles on foot or donkey to put a lot of sand between him and Pharaoh, right? To make sure he's safe. And he's down there working with it for his father-in-law, just tending the herds and the flocks. He's out Mount Hor, the mountain of God. This is where Moses eventually is going to get the Ten Commandments. That's why it's called the mountain of God. The Ten Commandments are going to give to Moses right then and there. But at this point, it's just Moses doing his day job, right? Another ordinary, boring day job. And this is what happens on this day. God speaks like this fire, this bush is on fire. It's not burning up. It's kind of a strange thing. The desert is about as hot as North Carolina is in June. But it's like it's still an unusual thing to have a bush that's burning and not burning up. So Moses says, well, let me go see what's going on. I want to go check this thing out. Why is this thing burning but not kind of burning up? And then notice this, that when the Lord saw he'd gone over to look, that's when he says to him, Moses, Moses, when he cries out to him. Listen, this is a really important thing to note. Here's the good news. Like Moses has been in the desert for 4 decades. For 4 decades. He thinks that, hey, I made a mistake. I'm never gonna regroup. I'm never gonna recover. Like, my life is kind of over. Like, nothing I'm gonna do is gonna make anything any better. I'm just gonna kind of clock in, clock out, live out my days as a foreigner and an exile and someone who's sort of all alone. But here's the really good news. God hadn't forgotten Moses, and God hasn't forgotten you. God hadn't forgotten Moses. And God has not forgotten you. Listen, this is just really good news that I want to speak. And today you might not be in the desert. But, you know, almost all of us spend some time in those spaces of alone, struggling, maybe on the other side of a mistake you made, maybe something no fault of your own, just things go sideways and things go wrong in our lives that we have no control over, and you end up in these sort of hard, lonely, lost places. I just want you to hear the really good news, and maybe you need to hear it today. Maybe you'll need to remember it 10 years from now. God has not forgotten Moses. God has not forgotten you. And so he sends a sign, and Moses goes over toward the sign to check it out. So here's the work. Here's something we have to do. We have to be open to the signs of God and then move towards them when they come. Be open to the signs of God, like especially in the desert, but not just in the desert, anytime. To be open to the signs of God. Is God sort of speaking to you? Is God sort of laying down breadcrumbs and inviting you to step in? Obviously a burning bush, a little bit startling, right? That's a little bit unique. But some of us who've been Jesus followers, you've had this experience if you're a Jesus follower for a while, where you'll hear the same Bible verse or same Bible story from like four or five different sources. Ever happened to you? Like in the span of a week, you're hearing the same story, same scripture, right? That's happened to many of us before. Sometimes you'll get a sense, a burden or a problem in the world or a nonprofit, and you kind of can't shake it. Like it's always kind of at you, and you're thinking about it, and suddenly it's everywhere in the news, and this thing just keeps coming at you again and again and again. You're like, I don't want to do anything about this problem. I don't want to go volunteer. I don't even know what I'm supposed to do. But you have a sense that like God's kind of giving me a burden towards something. That's move toward that. Might be a sign. Step into it. Move toward it. Maybe you just have a sense that won't go away, that you need to have a hard conversation or take a risk or try something new or serve, or maybe get baptized or affirm your faith. Like if you've got this thing that you just can't quite shake, sometimes, not always, but sometimes that's a sign. Just step into it. Or maybe you're not a Christian, not a Jesus follower, and God keeps putting annoying Christians in your life. It's a great thing, the thing that God loves to do. He loves to pester Christian people who aren't walking with Jesus with people who are walking with Jesus to demonstrate, hopefully, faithfully, imperfectly, but hopefully faithfully, the goodness of God. That's a sign. I want to invite you to step into it. By stepping into it, I'm not saying it's always, always, always God. I just mean it might be. So don't avoid it. Don't duck it. It's like breadcrumbs. Like step into it. Step toward it. Like start to pray about it. If it's a scripture keeps coming up or a problem in the world or a nonprofit, like research it, soak in it, sit in it, and be patient with it. It might be hours or days or weeks or months or even years before it starts to make sense to you or you have a sense of what it's all about. But I want to invite you to move towards it, to step into it. As the Lord sort of sends you these little breadcrumbs, these little signs, step into it and discern. Ask the question, God, is this you? Are you speaking? What should I do with it? After 40 years in the desert, on the other side of a mistake Moses made, he thinks God is done with them, but God is not. He sends a sign. And for some of us, the most important thing is just to be awake to the sign, be available to the sign. And that's not just true in the desert, right? Sometimes when life is really, really good, you don't want a sign from God because you don't want to change anything. Right? Sometimes for some of us, the most spiritually dry times for some of us are when things are going great. And for some of us, the only time we turn to God is in crisis, right? Some of us have turned to God in crisis, and that's like our spiritually most rich time. And then the crisis goes away, and we're like, okay, I'm just going to kind of coast now spiritually. So listen, this is an important thing for all of us. To be awake to God's movement and to follow it is a really important thing for all of us in the desert or in the happy place and in the flourishing place. The call is to be awake to the signs of God and to step into them, to lean into them along the way. Now, when Moses starts moving to the sign, and God sees him moving. Notice that like God kind of waits till Moses starts to move to call out his name. That's when he cries out, Moses, Moses. And what Moses does is Moses gives us the pitch perfect response, such a great response to the call from God. Moses says this simple phrase. Moses said, here I am. Isn't that great? Here I am. All right, would you say that with me? Here I am. Again? Here I am. One more time with feeling. Here I am. What a great thing. Simple. Open, receptive. God calls your name. God's working on you. God's tapping you on the shoulder. God keeps putting the same Bible verse in your face. God keeps putting annoying Christians around you that keeps kind of talking about their faith and inviting you in. The openness to say, here I am. Okay, I'm open to this. I'm available. And when we say, here I am, over and over and over again, you build a beautiful life before the Lord. This is really great sort of arc that happens all throughout the Bible. All throughout the Bible. Here's what happens throughout the Bible. One, God invites people with a sign, puts out breadcrumbs, says, hey, step in, step in, step in. And then what happens is people see the sign, are attentive to the sign, and move towards it intentionally with some openness. And then they simply say, as a sign gets confirmed, oh, wow, that's the Lord. They simply say, here I am. And this response releases, unlocks some of the greatest adventures in the whole Bible story. The response of here I am unlocks some of the craziest miracles in the whole Bible story. People, normal people like you and me, simply saying, all right, God, here I am. I'm open to what you want to do. Anything and everything you want to do, here I am. Now, what's going to happen over the next 5 minutes is Moses is going to retract his here I am multiple times. Never mind, God, here I'm not. Never mind, God, I ain't here. Never mind, God, how about that person over there? You got some sheep over there. I got his father-in-law, Jethro, is a priest. How about my father-in-law? I don't like the guy anyway, and he's a priest. Double whammy, take him. I'm really good at volunteering other people to do God's work, especially when it looks hard or costly. So Moses is going to retract the here I am multiple times. So here's one of the hardest things that we can do in our entire lives. One of the hardest things to say to God is not just once, but to say here I am over and over and over again. It's one of the most important things you can do spiritually before the Lord. It's just sort of keep offering yourself to the Lord over and over and over again. Okay, here I am. All right, God, you called me to take a step. I'll take a step. Here I am. I'll take one more step. Here I am. I don't want to take another step, but if you want me to, okay, here I am. That posture, that openness. Here I am. Listen, my friends, is anyone here need to kind of give a here I am to the Lord today? Just kind of open yourself up. Here I am. Burning bush or no burning bush? Sign or no sign? Any of you have an invitation from the Lord just to say, hey, tap your shoulder right now, hey, would you say here I am at work? Would you say here I am with your family situation that's so challenging and so complicated, so hard? Would you say here I am to the medical situation you're facing or your financial problem? Are you willing to just kind of say, okay, Lord, here I am, open hands, open heart, open spirit? What do you want me to do? I'm available to you over and over and over again. Now, part of what's understandable about Moses wanting to retract his here I am to here I'm not or go call him is what God's going to ask him to do. So let's look at how God kind of sets Moses up for the work he's going to do. Here's that part again, verse 7. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I've heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I'm concerned about their suffering. So I've come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians, to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey. Have you ever seen a problem that nobody else seems to care about? Dads, does anyone else in your house seem to care about the overflowing trash bags in your house, trash cans? No, no one else in my family cares about the overflowing trash bags. I see them. They bother me most of the times. Have you ever seen a problem that no one else seems to see or care about? And you're like, people, someone's got to do something about this. And everyone's like, meh. And then maybe down the road, someone else finally sees the problem. And you're like, thank goodness someone else sees the problem. I've been seeing this for years. And it's so wonderful when someone else agrees with you, amen? That's so great. Look how great I am. I was so insightful. Finally, someone else sees the problem I've been seeing for years and doing something about. 40 years ago, Moses tried to kill an Egyptian because he saw the people were oppressed and miserable. And finally, God says, I agree. Finally, Moses says, thank goodness. Glad God finally got around to agreeing with me that this is not acceptable. The people are oppressed, they're suffering. And for about 12 seconds, Moses is overjoyed. God is seeing this problem that I've been seeing for years. 40 years ago, God, I cared about this problem. Where were you? In fact, the Egyptians at this point, they've been enslaved for almost 400 years. And it seemed like God didn't care. So Moses at this point is like, yes. God sees the problem. He says he's coming down. He's going to do something about this. This is awesome. I'm so glad someone's finally seen the problem I have seen. And if Moses was playing Bible Mad Libs, one of our favorite games around here, if Moses was going to play Bible Mad Libs, here's how he would love for Exodus 3:10 to read on the other side of God saying, I've come down. I see the problem. Here's what he would love for God to say on the other side of I see this problem. So now I'm going to do all the hard work to bring the Israelites out of Egypt. You just get to sit back and watch and write it all down, Moses. Wouldn't that be great? No risk, all reward. God's like, I'm gonna do all the hard stuff, Moses. You just sit back, chill, do nothing. This is what Moses thinks God's gonna say, what he wants God to say after God agrees with Moses that this whole slavery thing is a massive, big problem. So this is what Moses wants to hear. God's going to solve this problem. Get those Egyptians, God. That's what Moses wants to do. Send those people out of the way and release the people of Israel. But here's what God actually says in Exodus 3:10, much to Moses' chagrin and dismay. Well, I'm going to say this first. Here's the good news. And here's the weird news. God almost never does something on his own he can involve people to do. God almost never does anything on his own he can involve people to do. Even though it's messy, even though it's inconvenient, even though people are messy, you're not messy, you're perfect and beautiful, but other people are messy. Even though people are messy and it's inconvenient and it's way less efficient, God almost never does something on his own he can involve human beings to do. Here's why. In Genesis 1, God created us in his image because he wants to pour his beauty, truth, and goodness through human beings into the world. You were created, hardwired, to have God's character, his justice, his righteousness, his beauty, his truth, through your personality into the world. Anytime God can run that operating system that he invented the world to run on, he's going to run that operating system. Anytime God can do something through human beings, he's going to do it through human beings, you and me. So even though God could totally do this without Moses, even though Moses wants God to do this without Moses, Moses wants to sit back and enjoy the show, and even though, like, it would be way more efficient if God just did this on his own, here's what he actually says. I'm getting there now. Thank you. Exodus 3:10. God says, you go. You understood. Now go. I'm sending you, not y'all, you, to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. So now you understand why Moses wants to say, here I'm not. Because if you've ever gotten a job that you weren't qualified for, you didn't have the skill set for, if you've ever been given an assignment that you're like, hey, this is way over my head, then you know exactly how Moses feels. Moses totally understands that, like, this job is way, way, way too big for him. Now, here's the thing. This call to send Moses to go deliver his people from Egypt is actually the fulfillment of all of Moses' instincts 40 years ago. Because here's the deal. 40 years ago, Moses saw his people being oppressed. You know what he did? He acted as a deliverer. Moses was a deliverer. That's actually how God wired him up. God wired Moses up to be a deliverer. The problem is Moses allowed his God-given gifts to be hijacked by his anger and his self-righteousness and his own agenda and his own plans. And so God had given him tremendous deliverer gifts that he's going to use. Moses actually is going to deliver God's people from the hands of the Egyptians, from slavery, just not the way that Moses wanted to do it, not his timing. And so here's what God's doing. God's saying, listen, those deliverer gifts, I know that you're like, think that the time is over. I know you think your deliverer days are over, but I gave you those gifts on purpose for a reason. And I want you now to use those gifts. I've given you those instincts in the way that I intended you to use them. So here's the deal. There's all kinds of gifted people in the world who had tremendous gifts who don't have the character to sustain those gifts for the long haul, right? All kinds of gifted people in the world that don't have the character to hold their gifts up strong and upright, to bless other people. Like, anytime you read a headline of some super gifted CEO who's using all their superpowers to steal and exploit people, they're using all their gifts, these God-given gifts, in ways that exploit and steal and destroy people because they don't have the character to hold up their gifts. When your gifts outstrip your character, the world's in trouble and so are you. And so what God does is sends Moses in the desert for 40 years to steep him, mature him, discipline and correct him so that he has the character to be the deliverer God wants him to be. And even then, his impulsiveness that got him in trouble 40 years ago is going to be his undoing later on. He's going to have all kinds of impulsive problems. None of you have impulsive problems. All of you have total impulse control. But Moses is going to have problems with impulsiveness that are going to get him in trouble all throughout the rest of his life. But God's been working on him to deepen him. And so he says to Moses, I want you now to go and dust off those deliverer gifts, those instincts, and use them now in my plan, my agenda. Here's what I want to say to you. I want to say to you this, that all of you have been given gifts by God. And what I want to propose to you is this, that many of our biggest mistakes or most common mistakes are when we use God-given gifts according to our own agenda, our own plans. When we take God-given gifts, like, and use them in ways that get hijacked by your anxiety, your ambition, your anger, your fear, your pride, whatever it might be, right? So listen, some of you have great gifts of organization and leadership. What a great, great gift. But sometimes you show up and boss everybody around and they hate you for it. That's you taking a really good gift and building resentment Because you take it and it feels like controlling and bossy. That's you taking your gift, needing to prop yourself up. Look how good I am. I can fix all the things. I can fix all y'all. Just listen to me. And you might even be right. But it's taking your good gift and employing it in ways that fix, that work for your agenda, your flesh, not the Lord's. Some of you are hilarious, like life of the party. Like you can come up with a joke anytime, anywhere. Listen, that's such a great, great gift. But man, sometimes people need you to shut up, not be the life of the party. Listen, care, not make it about you. Just go listen, attend to someone else. Don't make a joke. Not everything's a joke. Some things are really hard. Can you sit in that? Some of us have the gift of peace. Like you're like the opposite, right? You're so laid back, so mellow. What a fantastic gift. But for some of you, you are quiet when you need to speak up. Some of you are quiet. And the Lord said, no, I don't need you to be quiet this moment. I need you to stand firm. I need you to speak up for someone. I need you to speak into someone's life. Listen, some of your most consistent mistakes, some of your biggest regrets are when you take the good God-given gifts God's given to you and you put them to work or put them to use in a way that only fits your agenda, your patterns, what the scripture calls your flesh. And so the invitation to Moses here as a deliverer and to you with all your gifts, whatever your gifts might be, is to continually go to the Lord and say, here I am and here are all the gifts you've given me. Thank you for these gifts. Use them. Here I am and here's all the gifts. Take them. Do whatever you want to with them. I surrender them. Surrender these good gifts to you. I didn't work for these gifts. I didn't vet these gifts. You just gave them to me. And I'm going to give them back to you over and over and over again. Moses has these deliverer gifts. God says, I want you to dust off those gifts and go. And Moses is like, I'm not so sure I want this calling. In fact, here's what Moses says. Moses says to God, who am I? I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt. So here's what Moses does. Moses goes from here I am to who am I? It's a bad exchange. Moses goes from here I am, surrendered, open, ready to receive whatever God has for him, to who am I? So who am I comes up when you're like, got the sense of like, I got the assignment, I'm hearing from God or from my boss or, I've got a teenager. Who am I to raise this child? Like, who am I, right? That feeling over and over again. It's like, it's just comparing your skill set with your problem or opportunity. And here's the good news. God's not doing that. God is not looking at your resume when he calls you. God doesn't actually care all that much about your resume. Here's something I learned earlier on in my ministry experience, that God doesn't call the equipped, he equips the called. God doesn't call the people who have the perfect resumes and make no mistakes along the way. God doesn't say, okay, I'm waiting to see who's got everything all figured out and then I'll call you. God says, I'm gonna call you and I'll equip you along the way. I'm gonna do the work that I need to do in you and through you through along the way. God doesn't call the equipped, he equips the called. He calls people who are willing to say, here I am. And he says, that's enough, let's go. So Moses objects, like, hey, who am I to do this? He goes from here I am to who am I? And God just says this. God says, I'll be with you. Notice that God ignores Moses' question entirely. That drives us crazy when we pray it, but it's a really good gift here. God ignores Moses' question. Who am I? I don't care who you are. I'm going to be with you. Look, God does not tell Moses his resume. Wait, Moses, remember, you grew up in Pharaoh's household. The Pharaoh now is probably a brother, a cousin, like somebody you grew up with. You know the Pharaoh. God doesn't remind him of that. God doesn't remind Moses that he like knows Egyptian culture, knows the language. Doesn't remind him of that. God doesn't tell Moses you're smart enough and good looking and people like you and you're charming and delightful and all the things, right? God does not puff up Moses' ego at all. Zero ego puffing for Moses at all. Just God. That's enough. Just God. That's enough. The call of God does not depend on your resume or your mistakes. The call of God depends on what God can do and who God is, not who you are. It has mostly to do about God and only a little bit to do with you saying, here I am, over and over and over again. What a great gift. What a great gift. What a great gift. And as Moses finally gets around to saying, okay, you with me is enough. What unfolds is not just the people of Israel, their lives changed, their community changed, they're like thousands and hundreds of thousands of people freed from slavery after 400 years. That's not just that. The record of Moses' interaction with God and what he did and the miracles he did, like they've been recorded for history. These have been some of the most studied stories in human history. like the parting of the Red Sea, the actual Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments are some of the earliest, best ethical sort of writings in human history. Like all kinds of nations have been shaped by what God gave to Moses in the Ten Commandments. It wasn't just for the people of Israel. It's like thousands and thousands of years later, these are still some of the best ethical framework and instructions ever received. And even more than that, a couple thousand years later, another Moses comes, a better Moses, the fulfillment of Moses. He says to God the Father at every turn, here I am, here I am, here I am. He says, I'm the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. And he goes all the way to his own death. He says, here I am, all the way to a cross to deliver us from slavery to sin and death forever. Jesus Christ, the perfect Moses, who says, I see that, Moses. You see a picture, you hear his stories. I'm the perfect fulfillment of what Moses has come to do, to free you and me from sin and death forever. Because he keeps saying, here I am, here I am, here I am, over and over again. Today's wildly important takeaway. Just a few quick highlights to close things up. One, God hadn't forgotten Moses. God hasn't forgotten you. Be open to the signs of God. Whatever season you're in, desert, no desert, just be open to the signs of God. Work on that and then move towards them when they come. And I'm not saying every single thing is like God, but there are things in our lives that are the Lord trying to get our attention. So I want to invite you to just kind of move toward them, move toward them, just asking questions. God, is this you? Pitch perfect response, here I am. And sometimes the biggest challenge is to keep that same response going over and over and over again, that here I am, here I am, here I am, open and soft before the Lord. It's one of the biggest challenges and the call of the Lord for our lives. Next, some of our biggest or most consistent mistakes are when you use your God-given gifts to run your own agenda, your own preferences. It gets hijacked by your own ambitions, your own appetites, your own anger, your self-righteousness, your fears, whatever. And here I am is the antidote to that. It's continually laying those down before the Lord. And then finally, the good news, God doesn't call the qualified and equipped. He calls and he equips and qualifies the called. God's response to who am I is, I will be with you. My friends, no matter what you're facing today, what you're up against today, no matter what's waiting for you out there, no matter what's happening right now, good days, bad days, whatever's happening, here's the good news. The Lord just says, hey, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to be with you. He taps you on the shoulder. And all we do is say, here I am, here I am, here I am. And then we follow whatever lead he gives to us. My friends, may you and I walk in the same path that people for thousands of years have walked in, meeting the Lord, following the signs, following his lead. Here I am, here I am, here I am. And may that leave you and the people around you forever changed. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you that you're the one who calls us and you're the one who invites us into the journey. I pray for my friends here today who feel like they're in the desert place, where they hear the good news that you haven't forgotten them and that you're with them and for them. I pray for my friends today who are in great places, who actually are struggling to rely on you or look to you because everything seems smooth and they got everything under control. Lord, I pray that our hearts would be soft and open to the signs, the invitation, with the mantra, the repetition, here I am, over and over and over again. Would that be a place where we come back to and camp out? Lord, I pray for comfort for those of us who are in hard places. I pray that you might speak to us, meet us in hard places. I pray for those of us who are sensing your nudge and are resistant to it, or kind of who are saying, here I'm not, or send someone else. Lord, would you help us just to be open, to be receptive? And Lord, for those of us who feel that the question, who am I? Who feel the weight of our lack of resume or the weight of our past mistakes or shame, voices of shame and guilt. Lord, would we hear your response, I will be with you. Would that be enough for us? Would that be enough for us? We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.